All right, Proverbs 11:27. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. So now we're switching gears here. This has really nothing to do with being generous or selling things that are needful. Solomon is just, as he often does in the Proverbs, just goes from one thing to something entirely different. So he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. I have a bunch of words to define here. Diligently is in a diligent manner, with diligence, with steady application, assiduously, industriously, not idly or lazily, with dispatch. Diligent is, when you're speaking of persons, is constant in application, persevering in endeavor, assiduous, industrious, not idle, not negligent, not lazy. It says, he that diligently seeketh good. To seek is to go in search or quest of, to try to find, look for, either a particular object, person, thing, or place, whose whereabouts are unknown, or an indefinite object suitable for a particular purpose. He that diligently seeketh good, we're told good is that which is good in the widest sense, whatever is good in itself or beneficial in effect. And good, the adjective, is the most general adjective of commendation, implying the existence in a high or at least satisfactory degree of characteristic qualities which are either admirable in themselves or useful for some purpose. It also means, when you're referring to moral character, disposition, or conduct, it means morally excellent or commendable. And then somebody that diligently seeks good procures favor. To procure is to bring about by care or pains, also more vaguely, to bring about, cause, effect, produce. And favor is propitious or friendly regard, goodwill, especially on the part of a superior or a multitude. To find favor in the eyes of means to gain the goodwill of. Okay, so if we put all those definitions into a short, succinct sentence by replacing the words there with the definitions, we see that he that constantly applies himself in a search for what is morally excellent and commendable will obtain the goodwill of both God and man. And we're going to see that he will procure the favor of both God and man. First of all, we're going to see that he will procure the favor of God by diligently seeking good, because we're told in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Remember, diligently means with steady application, assiduously, industriously, not idly or lazily, with dispatch. So God rewards those who don't just go about their religion and their faith kind of in a willy-nilly, just lackadaisical manner, you know, just kind of treat it like they would some class that they had to take in high school that they didn't really care about at all, but they just kind of did it because they had to, because they had to pass this one last class to graduate. If you take your religion like that and just think, I'm just going to do the bare minimum and just kind of do whatever I have to get by, that's not going to be rewarded. God rewards those who diligently seek him, that really put their all into it. They do it with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. When you seek God like that, he will be found of you. He will reward you. And not only will he reward you in the temporal, in the immediate, but he will reward you for all eternity if you, in patient continuance, seek for glory and honor and immortality. Now let's look at Romans 2 and verse 7. Romans 2 and verse 7. Now, this verse does not speak of cause and effect, it speaks of evidence. So you're not going to get eternal life by doing these good things, but you are going to demonstrate that you have eternal life and that you will experience that in the future. Romans 2, 7 and 10 says, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. He that diligently seeketh good, well, I would say glory, honor, and immortality, that's good. And patient continuance, that would be diligently seeking good, right? So this verse is basically talking about what our proverb is talking about here. And it says there that he will procure favor. And I would say that eternal life in heaven is probably favor. I'd say God's probably smiling at you and giving you a nice blessing if he gives you eternal life in heaven, wouldn't you? Verse 10, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. So the man that works good, that seeks good, and does so diligently, he has glory, honor, and peace as favor that's given to him from God. And we're told in Psalm 5 and verse 12 that the Lord will bless, protect, and show favor to the righteous. So if you want to be blessed, well, diligently seek what is good, whatever is good. Braden, that would be obeying your parents, right? That would be doing what they tell you to. That would be following the rules of the house. That would be being a good student at school, being respectful to your to adults and teachers, things like that. Seeking God, reading your Bible, going to church and getting as much as you can from the sermon. And as you get older, you'll get more from it. You diligently seek good like that, you'll be rewarded. And for the rest of you, that the same thing, only it's just big boy and big girl things instead of little boy things. You diligently seek what is good. You seek the word of God. You seek to be a good wife, a good husband, a good employee, right? A good Christian. Well, you will procure the favor of the Lord. Psalm 5 and verse 12. It says, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Because if you diligently seek good, well, you are righteous by definition, because that's what a righteous man does. He keeps the commandments of the Lord blameless. And those who seek and find wisdom shall obtain the favor of the Lord, we're told in Proverbs 8 and verse 35. Proverbs 8:35. It says, for whoso findeth me, this is wisdom speaking, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Now, what do you have to do to find wisdom? You have to seek for it, right? He that seeketh, findeth. Right? Seek and ye shall find. So if you seek wisdom, and we've probably learned that a time or two in this Proverbs series. To seek wisdom is to read and study the Word of God. When you seek wisdom, you'll find it. And when you find that, you'll find favor. You'll obtain and procure the favor of the Lord. Now let's look at Proverbs 12 and verse 2. Just for one more witness here. Proverbs 12 and verse 2. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. And we'll get to the second half of that verse here in a little bit. But yes, the man that seeks good and does good obtains favor, blessing from the Lord. And he also obtains and procures favor from man, not only from the Lord. And our Lord Jesus Christ is a great example of this. Because from even a child, from 12 years old, and I'm sure before that, probably from when he first had any kind of awareness at all, he was out there seeking good. But by 12 years old, he had learned more than the doctors of the law knew, or at least enough to be very impressing to them with his questions and his answers. So this was a boy that was seeking good, and he obtained favor from God and man. Luke chapter 2, where I'm going here, Luke chapter 2 and verse 49. This is when they had left Jerusalem, and then they realize after 3 days that Jesus isn't with them, and they go back looking for him. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? See, he was diligently seeking good. even as a boy. And he continued this throughout his adulthood. He said in John chapter 8 and verse 29 that he always did those things which pleased God. And it's a good thing, because if he didn't, he couldn't have died for our sins, because that means that he wouldn't have kept all of the things that he was supposed to keep, and therefore he would have been guilty of sin. John 8:29, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." So Jesus always and diligently sought good. And because of that, look at what it says here of him when he was but a boy, 12 years old, that he found favor with not only God, but also man. Luke 2:52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." So he diligently sought good and procured the favor of both God and man.
Not all men, right?
Not all men, no. There were, later on in his life, obviously, when he started telling them the truth, he incurred the wrath of some men, but he also had a lot of people that blessed him, that favored him. In Proverbs 3:3-4, we see here that people that seek after mercy and truth will find favor in the sight of God and man, and mercy and truth certainly would be good things to seek after. Proverbs 3:3-4, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." So if you're merciful and you're true and you're characterized by those things, then you will procure favor from men. Men like men that are merciful and that are true. True to what they say, and that seek the truth. When you do that, you'll have a blessing in your life. Joseph was one such man that diligently sought good, even in difficult situations in life. You think about it, it's easy to seek good when everything is going well for you, but imagine being in prison and diligently seeking good. Imagine being the best prisoner you could be. I mean, being in a modern prison would not be any fun, but being in an old Egyptian prison must have been a terrible place. I'm sure it was dark, it was probably dreary, probably mildewy, or who knows what. I'm sure it was very uncomfortable there. And yet, Joseph diligently sought good when he was there, and he was put in charge of the prison, and then he was eventually let out of the prison. He ended up coming into favor with men through the favor of God. Genesis 39:21-23. It says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." So here Joseph is procuring favor because the Lord was with him, and the Lord saw what he did. And, you know, it says that the Lord was with him first and showed him mercy in the sight of the keeper of the prison. It doesn't say that this keeper of the prison just noticed what a good worker Joseph was and thought, you know, I'm going to put him in charge. What really happened was the Lord was with him, the Lord showed mercy, and then the Lord, you know, turned the heart of that prison keeper and then made him notice Joseph. You see how? So the Lord was integral into that. So he was procuring favor from the Lord, and then it was trickling down to men. And we read a commentary on this in Acts 7, verse 10, which substantiates what we just read there. Acts 7 and verse 10. It says, "And delivered him out of all his afflictions." This is talking about Joseph. "And gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt in all his house. So talk about, like in Ecclesiastes, being taken out of prison to reign, which is not exactly referring to this, but the idea of it, you know, certainly is there, that Joseph goes from pretty much as low as it can possibly get. He diligently sought good when he was in the worst possible circumstance, and he found favor with God, and then with man, with the prison keeper, and then with the king of Egypt, the king of the most powerful man in the world. He found favor in his eyes because he diligently sought good. Ruth was another one that diligently sought good. She was a virtuous woman. She sought the God of Israel. Remember, she told Naomi that whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people should be my people, and thy God, my God. Right? She diligently sought good, and therefore she procured the favor of the Lord through Boaz. And she was taken aback. I'm not going to read it. I've read it before. But in Ruth 2, 8 through 17, she was taken back by Boaz's kindness. Why have I found grace in thine eyes? Why did I find favor in thine eyes? It's because she diligently sought good. She was committed in her heart that she was going to follow the God of Israel, Naomi's God. There must have been something about Naomi's God that she knew about that impressed her. It certainly wasn't Naomi and her bad attitude, right? There must have been something there that she knew about the God of Israel. And she was just determined that I'm sticking with you, and your God's going to be my God. And she went to where the people of God were. She left her homeland, diligently sought good, and she found favor in the eyes of Boaz, and ended up being the great, great grandmother, I think, of King David. Yep. And then the early Christians in the New Testament. They diligently sought the Lord and his church, and they found favor in the eyes of all the people. In Acts 2 and verse 47. So if you want to get a promotion at work, don't diligently seek the favor of your boss. Diligently seek good, and then you'll procure the favor of your boss. Because if you diligently seek the favor of your boss, he's going to look at you as a butt kisser, right? Yeah. And nobody's going to promote a butt kisser, right? But if you diligently seek good, and you just do what God says, you read your Bible every day, you try to put that into practice in your life, you're honest, you're hardworking, and you forget about the promotion, you forget about trying to impress the boss, and you just diligently seek good, you'll procure the favor of that boss. The Lord will see to it that you do. Acts 2 and verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So here they are, praising God and having favor with all the people. And all the people there include, like, a lot of unbelieving Jews. You know, there was a lot of Jews that were converted that day, but there was way more than 3,000 Jews in Jerusalem. I mean, you know, there's like a million of them or something. And they says they had favor with all the people. They're going in and out of the temple. All these Pharisees, all these chief priests, all these people, and they have favor in their eyes because they diligently sought what was good. Now, they eventually were persecuted too. I mean, that does happen. There's always there's always a balance here. But on balance, you diligently seek good, and the Lord will see to it that you end up favored. All right, then the second half. But he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. And so the Lord's fair here. You seek good, you get favor. You seek mischief, you'll get mischief. Right? He will give you what you seek. Mischief is evil, plight, or condition, misfortune, trouble, distress. In modern English, often it refers to need, want, or poverty. Secondly, it's harm or evil considered as the work of an agent or due to a particular cause. An injury wrought by a person or other agent, an evil arising out of or existing in certain conditions. I know I've said this before, but mischief is one of those words that has been greatly downgraded in degree of badness. Usually we speak of mischief like, oh, he's just a mischievous little guy, and you say it almost jokingly, but the Bible does not use it in such a way at all. So mischief is quite a bad thing in the scripture. So in other words, if we put the definition into the word, into the verse here, we see that he that goes looking for trouble will find it. And he that goes on a quest to harm others and do them evil will receive harm and evil to himself. What goes around comes around. You reap what you sow. We'll get to that verse here in just a minute. So remember I told you that we would get back to Proverbs 12 and verse 2, where we have the first half of the verse saying that God will be favorable to somebody who seeks good. Well, the same is true to those who seek evil. He will likewise reward them. He rewardeth the fool and the transgressor, we're told. Proverbs 12 and verse 2, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices, a mischievous man, in other words, will he condemn. So he will, it'll come upon him. This is God's signature judgment. I might get to that verse if I don't, but I've gotten to it before, where the Lord is known by the judgment that he executed. The wicked are caught in their own net, fall into their own pit. The same is also true with good and wicked men and their dealings with the king. The king will show favor to people that are good, and he will bring down wrath upon those who are not. Proverbs 14 and verse 35 says, the king's favor is toward a wise servant, one that seeks good, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame, the mischievous one. And this is essentially teaching that principle that I mentioned, that you reap what you sow. You reap good, you'll sow good. You reap mischief, you'll get it back in kind. Galatians 6, 7 through 8. Nobody can ever charge God with being unfair. He gives you what's coming to you. Wages of sin is death. The Lord always pays. And you sin, your payday will come. It's a guarantee. You don't have to worry about waiting for your paycheck. Galatians 6, 7 through 8 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth of his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So you seek mischief, you'll get mischief. If you plant seeds of thistles, you're going to get thistles, right? You plant seeds of corn, you're going to get corn. So whatever you sow, you'll get it back in spades. I just give you some examples here. I'm probably not even going to read these verses because you're familiar with it. But Saul sought mischief against David. It was specifically said, David said that he seeketh mischief against me. He sought mischief against David in 1 Samuel 23:9, and he ended up dying by the sword that he lived by. Right? Mischief came unto him. He ended up dying in suicide. Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, sought mischief against the king of Israel, which was Ahab. So this is, you know, one mischievous guy seeking mischief against another mischievous guy. But even though Ahab was a wicked man, when Ben-Hadad tried to do mischief to him, well, the Lord saw to it that mischief came back upon him, and he and his armies got the soup beat out of him. You can read about that in 1 Kings chapter 20. And then, of course, we know this one. We've been over this many times. Haman sought mischief against Mordecai. And what happened? Mischief came back to him. He was hung on the gallows that he had made for Mordecai. And you can read about that in Esther 7 and then Esther 8. And then the verse that I was referring to, one of them anyway, is Psalm 7. We will look at this one. Psalm 7, 14 through 16. I think this is the one I was thinking of. I know there's one in Psalm 9 also, but I think, let me see if Psalm 7 says the same thing here. Psalm 7, 14. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity. He hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the pit which he made. his mischief shall return upon his own head. How do you like that one? That's a great, great cross-reference there with the proverb we're looking at. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. The pate is the skull, part of the head covered with hair. He that seeketh mischief, it will come unto him, right down on top of his head. And those who frame mischief by a law will have their own iniquity be brought down on them by God. And this will be the closing verse. Psalm 94, verses 20 through 23. So this verse should bring us some comfort because we live in a country where people frame mischief by a law, right? The legalizing so-called gay marriage by the Supreme Court, passing this Respect the Marriage Act, and all these laws that are for this transgender stuff and transgenders and women's sports and all this evil, all this mischief by a law, all these confiscatory taxes and onerous regulations and all this stuff that they have no right legally to do. Here's what's going to happen. Psalm 94, 20 through 23, shall the throne of iniquity, that's called the Oval Office these days, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge, and he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. So how that's going to play out, I don't know, but the Lord will bring their own iniquity upon them. You know, maybe, just maybe, these people are vindictive, and they went after Trump for all this stuff, and a lot of stuff was trumped up. I'm not a fan of him, as we all know, but he's probably a pretty vindictive guy. And if he got back in and all these other people that did all these evil things and he goes on a witch hunt, I mean, it may come right back down on them. I'm not really, that would kind of be concerning to me, though, honestly, because when you start having that kind of stuff, like that's Banana Republic type stuff, you know, where the new regime comes in and imprisons the old regime. And then what's going to happen when that regime comes out? And that's why they don't want to go out. And then they have a coup and they take over the government or whatever. You know, all that stuff is not probably going to end well. But anyway, the point is, these people that frame mischief by a law, one way or another, it's going to come back down upon them. They're going to end up probably maybe being put in jail for evading the tax laws that they put in place, right? Or put in jail for violating the drug laws that they put in place or something like that, right? They do all this stuff and then get caught up in their own laws somehow. And
get caught in a net that they spread.
Yes, fall into the pit that they digged. All right, so anyway, that takes care of Proverbs 11:27. You just remember the one takeaway. If you want to procure the favor of the Lord, diligently seek what is good. Just read the book. Read this Bible and do everything in it that you can, the best that you can, and do your best to please God, be honest, keep his commandments, and he will see to it that you find favor, not only in his eyes, but in the eyes of men as well.
Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.